Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer thy gift, offer the gift that Moses commanded for the test, for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. There's some neat things right there that you can see in verse, in chapter 8, in verse 3, there's one or two important words there, and those words are I, and the other one is will. So you might want to underline that word, I will. Also in verse 7, there's another, that same statement is there. Notice that the first thing Jesus did was what? I will. The first guy came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can do this. Well, Jesus said what? I'm always willing. So that's what we can get from God before you even go to God with the need, or when you go to God with a problem, before you even get there, God is already willing to work out that that circumstance or that situation. Everybody say, God is willing to heal you. Or God is willing to cleanse you. He's willing to take your situation and make it better. He says, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, for I'm a man under authority. That's great faith. And that's what God wants to do for us. And so many times we're waiting for stuff to show up, or God to show up in physical form, or the prophet to show up in physical form, or circumstances to change, or for things that happen in the natural. But the important thing right here about faith is that all God has got to do in order to change your circumstances, speak the word. Everybody say, speak the word only.
Speak the word only.
And whatever's wrong will be all right. But for so long, we just don't get to the point where we decide to really start to confess and speak the word of God. He said, listen, you speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And he said, listen, for I'm a man under authority. People that can honor authority and know what authority is all about and got a revelation about authority can really start to flow in great faith. Amen. He says, for I'm a man under authority, and I say, to this man go, and he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Jesus, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? When God said he hadn't seen so much faith, no, not even in Israel, he hadn't caught this kind of faith. Why was this man's faith so great? Because this man's faith was based in knowledge of Jesus. This man basically saw, come on in. Hallelujah. That looks like Benita's. Must be Benita's brother. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank God for that. They made it. Hallelujah. Right. Somebody say, thank God. He's a good God, isn't he? Amen. God is wonderful. So, come on in the circle, my brother. Oh, yeah, boy, my friend. Only speak the word only, and you'll break up everything we try to do. Amen? Okay. So, we get there. He said, only speak it only, and that thing will basically change out, because this faith was founded in knowledge of the supernatural realm. Amen? So, say, knowledge and wisdom. Now I say unto you that many shall come down. He said, many will come and sit down, shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a big statement. He really ticked off a lot of people probably when he said that, because that was only for a certain group of people. And this, if you get a revelation of what's going on today and then read this scripture in context, it'll tell you some things. So he said, many shall come and shall sit down in the kingdom of heaven. Now, but the children of the kingdom shall what? Be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I tell you what, who's the true seed of Abraham? Those that are seed by faith. Those that are there by faith. It's not based on anything by flesh whatsoever. Amen. The covenant of the Jew is a covenant of faith. Even the Jewish nation that arise there, the only ones that will get to be a Jew in the last day is the one that says, I receive Jesus Christ. That might happen after the rapture, before the rapture, but that is what it's all about. And anyone that does not receive that promise by faith, amen, will be cast out into outer darkness. And the problem is when so many people look on the flesh of things, look on the outward circumstance of things, and they look at all these things and say, because I'm this. And God told them before, over and over again, I can raise up these stones to be the seed of Abraham. So basically, if God can raise, it's not, doesn't matter how much, what kind of blood you got in your vein or what you are. Amen. God said it's a thing by faith. It's not a thing in the flesh. But even God will, God says that even those children of the flesh will bow their knee and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. But until they do that, amen, God's attitude, he's not so caught up in this stuff. We get caught up in this stuff, but he's not as caught up in it. He was the first one that started preaching and teaching like that. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that's it's kind of deep when you get it. Somebody say, many shall come. My Lord shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with whom? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And then people start talking about this. I didn't want to get into this, but it's a contemporary issue. Now, they always said we need to be separated, and they need to be separated. You know, we can't. That was the thing with the Pharisees. They were so pure. They were the only people of God, and nobody else can be around us but us because we got this covenant. But Jesus said many will come. Who said that? Who said Jesus. That? The law? You in? Who said that? Jesus said many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham. Amen? Glory to God. Good teaching there. And Abraham and Isaac, and in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And notice that it says centurion. What does that mean?
Man over 100.
Man over 100. Well, so who are centurions?
Romans.
Yeah. Here Jesus was out there ministering to a bunch of Jews. And here is this uncircumcised Roman that came to Jesus and got exactly what he wanted from God. And Jesus said, listen, I haven't found any kind of faith in any of you people that should have it, as good as I've been to you and all this other stuff, but here comes this Roman that had no covenant, didn't even belong there, and they probably would have put him out if he wasn't a centurion, if he wasn't a man of authority. It's probably the only reason why he was in there. And he said, listen, and that man went there and got what he got from God. And he said, I haven't found not so much faith, no, not in all Israel. Somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
And it's been that way from that day forward, whether you can realize it or not. Amen. There will be a remnant of Israel that shall be saved. And that's God's promise to them. Amen. But faith pleases God. Yeah. And don't you ever, 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 you are contrary to Scripture if you believe that any person is closer to God because of their race, nationality, or including Jews. Somebody say, in the Bible, it teaches us over and over, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female in any of those things. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
There is all in one Christ Jesus. And the only reason why we have the Jewish race and the only reason why they have that covenant with God is because Abraham pleased God by faith. Amen. And they got a promise by faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But you got to understand, they said that it's just because of my flesh that this thing, no, it was God's grace. Mm-hmm. Amen. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. And he got that promise because he believed God. So it's really those that believe
like Abraham's. You are a Jew, whether you realize it or not, as far as God says, you are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. Don't think your covenant's any less. Actually, you got a greater covenant. He said, built on better promises and all this other stuff because you're walking in the same faith as Abraham. Amen. If Father Abraham were walking this door right now, he'd look for faithful ones and say, that's my seed. That's my seed. That's my child. Amen. So it's got to go in that direction. Now, we gotten out there a little bit. Amen. Amen. But we are to pray. Somebody say, pray. Biblically and scripturally, for what? The peace of what? Of Israel.
Jerusalem.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, is Jerusalem a group of people? No, it's a geographic area. It's a geographic area. This big battle that the Palestinians and the Jews are facing right now, they're not really fighting over land. The land is just a symbol on who gets to rule the nations. I was talking to a Palestinian on Saturday. He said, that's what this whole battle is about. He's from that same land. He said, what the argument is right now is they're both children of Abraham, but they're both fighting for that promise that one will get to rule the nations.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it's all about.
That's right.
Whoever gets that land gets all of the seed of worship, and they will get to be the ruler of nations.
Amen.
That's what the battle is all about. But there's only one reason why God chose one particular group of family of people to rule the nations, that they might introduce them to God. And nobody can come to God but by what? Faith. So if the Jew is basing this calling of introducing the world to Jesus Christ on the flesh, they miss it. But if they base it on faith, like Abraham received God, amen? The same way. Somebody, Abraham was just like you before he got his promise. The only thing that made the Jew, he's just like everybody, the only thing that made the Jew is that God gave him a promise. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He was created just like everywhere else, and he did something, and God said, listen, he called him out of everything. And Abraham left where he was and decided to go to a place that he didn't know where he was going. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, amen, to a place that he did not know. Faith is believing in unseen things. God just said, get up and go, whether you know where you're going or not. And he listened to God and did what God said, and God blessed him.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. That's how this whole thing started. It also started to the point we didn't want to get into all this other. This word is so good, isn't it? The word of God is so rich. But we need to get some history and get some biblical knowledge. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
About really what's going on. The other thing thing that blessed God's heart. Somebody say amen. Abraham was crazy for God.
Amen.
That man did whatever God told him to do. He finally got that promised son, and it was all together. Then God said, you take him up on that mountain and kill him. You know what he did? He said, all right. Got himself a knife and got whatever he needed and took that son up to the mountain, and he was going to kill his only son. You know what? Thank God for Abraham.
Amen.
I believe that Abraham sowed the seed for us to receive Christ.
That's right.
And he didn't have to kill his own son. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There was a ram in the bush, and that was just prophetic.
Yes, it was.
That was just prophetic. See, we can't reap anything from God, amen, that somebody else didn't sow. Abraham was a big man of faith. Lord, he cut that first covenant, amen. He saw God. Did you know how powerful that was? He split. Oh, it was deep. As Abraham walked through the blood, it represented the new covenant. We can look at Abraham's life and see he planted the seed. Abraham was not born a Jew. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He was a heathen. Do you know the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job? Job wasn't a Christian. Job wasn't a Jew. Job was a pagan that had some type of faith that believed God on his level. Amen. And this is the kind of faith that Abraham moved in. It wasn't like this. See, we've got all the laws of the prophets, and before these guys, it was just whatever happened. That's why they're so confused.
Where do you think the Muslim, and of course these Muslims got this weird stuff with the Prophet Muhammad and all this other stuff, but before all those guys, amen, everybody basically believed that there was a God. Amen, but they got into this foreign stuff where they started believing multiple gods and all this weird stuff. But we want to get back to where we're going, amen. But I want you to see how the thing started and let those people know that it's all about faith. Amen. That everybody has a choice, amen. And this thing that we see right now, the battle is not going to be won with guns and swords and all these other things. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. God is going to do some great things in our midst. And for these people, amen. Who's ruling the nations? Who's ruling the nations? Those that submit to Jesus Christ. It's that Christian. It's the Christian. I'm not talking a bunch of crazy stuff, but when you really look at it, why is America an authority right now? Because we got more guns? No, because this nation came out of many nations so that no particular group could claim God all to themselves. In this nation, we got Chinese, we got Jews, we got blacks, we got everybody else. It wasn't based on one handpicked people out of all the nations. You come over here from Holland. You come over here from France. You come from Germany. We're even going to pull y'all. We're going to yank y'all out of that. Things were so good in Africa, they had to steal us. Amen. But no, but they pulled them. They pulled them out of everywhere. So out of all the nations, I believe that's why we're so blessed, is because this nation represents every nation. And this nation has made it its job, its task, and its mission. The very first... the people that came over, the very first people that came over, not everybody that came over here were seeking the good of the land. Some people came over here. Actually, the majority of the first group were missionaries. Do you know that? And people say the first group that got over here were seeking religious seeking religious freedom. No, they had freedom. There was freedom over there in Holland or wherever the first ones came from. No, the first one were Dutch.
Oh, that's right.
The first were Dutch. There was freedom over there. But they came over here to preach the gospel to the Indians. They came over to preach the gospel to the Indians. So the first people that came over to the sea came over. It was a mission. And then after that, England got into the scene, and that's when we started that was all of the Northeast. When you get into the Northeast, those pilgrims and those people that came in, that was a particular group of people, very strict. Amen. But the Mayflower people, that whole group, they were there to evangelize. That whole thing was evangelistic. And right around Maryland, and as Virginia got into it, something happened. There were people that got over here, and they saw the land was really good. So they figured out they could grow tobacco. So at this point, they were no longer sending people over to evangelize. England was not sending people over to evangelize because it wasn't the land flowing with milk and honey. It was a terrible place, everybody thought. But they were sending over indentured servants and slaves, amen, basically indentured servants below the Virginia area to harvest the crops and to sell tobacco. Do you see the battle between the two different people, two different groups? One is greed, based in greed. It's a very powerful, when you study Christian, you study real history, and you can see God, how the devil, God got here first to preach the gospel. Then right after that, and people don't understand, and they thought when you get into different history things, like even the Civil War. Civil War was not based on slavery. People think it was, but it really wasn't. It was that same battle. The mentality of the different groups of people that really got in there. Amen. Really, it was. Because the one said, hey, look, if you take these people away, it's not just that we won't be mean to black people, but you take these people away, we ain't going to get no money. Who's going to work these fields? So it's always, you know, the pressure of what we can get out of the land, amen, or just live and exist. Amen. Somebody say, only speak the word.
Only
we try to stay out of certain areas, but it's really deep. When you really look at it, it's really deep, and God's about to do big things, but you got to know who you are, what your call is, amen, so that you might be able to fulfill that call. The nation of we have a mission. There are some biblical missions to this nation, amen. We have a goal and we have a responsibility that God will use us for, and we will fulfill that thing. Our covenant, according to Scripture, our covenant, we will, if we're not raptured, the Bible says that every nation will rise against Israel. Something's going to happen. I pray that, that when that happens, it's because the church is called away. But Israel will win. Without our strength, they're not going to win because America's backing them. They got our guns and missiles. That's not how they're going to win. They're going to win because God. They're going to win so great a battle that only they know that only God did this. The money in America didn't do it. Their big army didn't do it. You know, none of that stuff did it. Only God did it, and it's going to cause them to come to their knees. Amen. We're in the last of the last days. We're in the last of the last days. Amen. And God's about to do great things. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Hallelujah.
This thing is short. Listen, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And you think these people knew Jesus a long time before you? God's only known them for 2 days. It's only the second day. That sky could crack anytime. On the third day, glory to God. We're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. And great things are about to happen. But before those things can happen, amen, we can expect to see some things. And that's why the church has got to develop their faith so that we would be who God wants us to be. And there are certain things that I believe, and I really believe this. I believe that those are raptured. I believe that the only ones that are going to be raptured in the last day are those that got the faith to be raptured.
Amen.
Because everything God does, he does it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't believe he doesn't have the power to do anything, well, how are you going to believe? Amen?
Right.
You're going to be called away. The Bible says two men are going to die. They're going to kill those prophets. And they're going to lay in the streets for how long? For 3 days, they'll lay in the street, dead, for 3 days. And we think that's an impossibility, that anybody would lay in the middle of the streets for 3 days and then get up and survive. In Haiti, I was watching a special, and I decided to get on the net and read up about it and study on it a little bit. But do you know in Haiti that witch doctors have a potion that they can put on people? Anybody ever heard of zombies? Zombies are absolutely real. And there's scientific proof to believe this. They can put people out and bury them and dig them back up in 4 days, and they will come back, you know, with no willpower whatsoever. Now, they don't know whether the people die completely, but what happens is all of their vital signs, their certain things, just drop so low. And they just drop so low that people consider them to be dead, and they can't afford to embalm people. So they just bury them. And what they do is by the time they get the people back up again, they lose their motor skills. They lose certain things. That's why they don't talk. Awesome special. If you should, people think this is really crazy. There's a lot of stuff going on. We live over here. Brother Rodney Howard Brown was he said, y'all ain't seen nothing. And Drummond Tom confirmed it. He said they got witch doctors over there in South Africa that go up under the water for how long? They'll go under the water and live under the water for days. But we ain't never seen nothing like this. Look on your TV today. Look on your TV today. Look at John Edwards and the different ones that are getting on the TV right now talking to the dead, and the dead are telling them things that are, these things are real. Somebody says, well, there's no such thing as ghosts. Not according to the Bible. The Bible does not say there's no such thing as ghosts. The Bible says don't talk to the dead. Right. Meaning that it's possible. And we're not to be deceived.
Amen.
Or caught up in all these other things. And we're going to lose many people, and many people in our nation are going after these false religions and all these other things because the church is trying to tell them these things don't exist. They're not real. No, you better know the real and say, I don't care whether it exists or not. I'm going to stick with God.
Amen.
We have not seen anything yet according to what the scripture says is going to take place. And some of the things are just showing up right in front of our earthquake in from New York to Maryland. Jesse says there's a fault line. The news says there is no fault line. There is no reason why this earthquake quake should have taken place. Second one in 40 years. Bible says rumors of war. Mothers against daughters. Daughters against mothers. You know, all this other stuff. Everything going up. Everything just going, you know, signs of the time. You won't even be able to tell the seasons. One of the signs of the time says you won't be able to tell which season it is. In the woodlands, the trees bloomed, what was it, 6 weeks early? And the scientists said here in our community, the reason why the trees bloomed early because the trees don't know what time of year it is, that our timing and global warming has got so hot that not even nature knows what time of year it is. Anybody ever grown mums? Mums don't bloom in the summer. They bloom in the fall. My mum's got buds on it. These are the last of the last days in which we've been desensitized. We've been desensitized and we've been so deceived. Everybody say the Antichrist.
The
Antichrist. 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 We're expecting the devil to show up and all this other stuff. Antichrist is something that looks like Jesus. Got his name all over it, but against everything he stood for and everything he stands in. Amen? Devil comes like a wolf in sheep clothing. People can be deceived and got some form of security. Amen. The dark ages, I believe we're living in the age of the Antichrist spirit. I believe this is the age when we have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. When men are in control of religious things other than the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I think in the last day, and the most dangerous place to be in the last day is in the wrong church.
Amen.
Because when they see the devil show up, everybody else going to know where to run. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody going to start running. There's nothing worse than think you got a hiding place and you think you're secure. And that place ain't really the place to be hiding out.
Amen.
How do we get off on all this stuff? It's deep, people. We have no idea all the things that are going on right in front of our face. Right in front of our face, and we're just blowing it away. Blowing it away, don't think anything happened. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Anything can happen. They say in 6 years, the second largest religion in America will be Muslim. In 6 years. Nothing we can do about it. The largest religion in America will be Muslim, meaning that the largest denomination will be Muslim. No, they're just coming in. How many people are out there? But thank God there's going to be a mighty revival. Somebody say glory to God.
Amen.
There's going to be a mighty revival throughout all the land. And we're going to see God's Spirit move. And I don't even know why we call this place Nations Church, other than that was the word that we got for it. God's got a plan. Amen. Go thy way and thou, as thou hast believed. This is another statement that's very powerful for most Christians. People come in this building all the time and expecting you to do stuff for them. Amen. Expecting you to work their stuff out. You know, wave the magic wand over their head. All their problems going to go away, you know, and you know, they walk in with sick in their body, and all of a sudden, just because they walk through the door, everything's going to be all right. People come up to the front, well, do something for me. I tell you what, Jesus said this, as your faith is.
Amen.
As whose faith is?
Mom.
Pastor Rod's faith? This sister's faith over here? Rita's faith? As Jesus' faith is? Says as whose faith is? As your faith is, so be it unto you. Your lifestyle will never go beyond your personal level of faith. Now, there is a gift of faith. Now, when the gift of faith is manifest, that it doesn't matter where your faith level is at all during that point in time. It's solely based on the individual that has the gift. And there are times when that gift of faith will come in the room, it doesn't even matter what somebody believes, God's going to do it anyhow because the individual has that gift of faith that will super exceed the faith level of the individual that's being prayed for. But I tell you what, 90% of the time, amen, it's as your faith is, so be it unto you. So you come up to get prayed for, you're getting in the line real quick, what's God going to do? Exactly what your faith wants him to do.
Amen.
Is that because the individual, doesn't matter how much power I got at all, none of that stuff has anything to do with it. Somebody say, as your faith is. Everybody say, as your faith is.
As your faith is.
So be it unto you.
Be it unto you.
And that's everybody. See, we get to the point, we see all kind of people coming into the church and say, man, he really rough on that one, isn't he? Why? Because it's going to be based on their faith anyhow.
Amen.
You know, they got to hear the word just like everybody else. Ain't no magic wand going to be waved over anybody's head.
Amen.
As their faith is. Dummy, you better shut up and listen to me.
Amen.
Because it's going to be based on your faith. Somebody say, only speak the word. I'm enjoying the night. Amen. We got off on a wild tangent there, but we have to get in the Word.
Amen.
We have to get into the Word. We've got to get into the Word and base ourselves in the Word because there are a lot of weird stuff out there that's completely, I believe, completely contrary to what Jesus preached, to what Paul preached, and they got in trouble, and that's the reason why they're not saved today. That's the reason why they're not saved today, because they're thinking that same mentality. I'm a Jew and every day's going to be all right. And Jesus said himself, I can raise up them stones to be Jews. And instead of the church telling the truth, Jesus is the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. You want to win that battle? Give yourself to God. Give yourself wholly to God. Amen. We're sitting up there preaching stuff they think, backing them up. You're God's chosen people. Yeah, you're chosen. You're chosen to choose Jesus.
Amen.
You're chosen to choose Jesus, and God will use you, amen, to witness to everybody else. This is a new thesis for me. I haven't been there all the way. I come out of Christ for the Nations. Amen. We do a trip every year to Israel, every year. Amen. But we got to preach Jesus Christ and not a bunch of religious mumbo-jumbo. Half people don't even know what they're talking about anyhow. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Get caught up in a bunch of stuff, ain't doing nothing about it. Amen.
Amen.
I just want them to then get yourself a gun and go over there. All right. Matthew chapter 9. Glory to God. He said, go whose way? Go thy way. Some say, go your way. Go your way, and as thou hast believed, chapter 8, verse 11, he says, go your way, just go on. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. Somebody say, praise God for that.
Praise God for that.
And his servant was healed that same self hour. Amen. Like this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody say, glory to God. Now go over to verse 9, chapter 9. Verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on the bed. There was a man lying sick on the bed. And there are people that come in here sick. We get people that come in wheelchairs every now and then. We get people that get worn out. Jesus was not looking at the wheelchair. He didn't look at wheelchairs. He didn't look at problems. Jesus did not see the man sick on the bed. Do you see that? They brought somebody, the writer saw the guy on the bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's how much most of us are right now, and we don't even know when we get that way, we're in unbelief.
Wow.
When Brother Bear comes in the church, and we said, oh, this is a real hot one, this man's in that wheelchair, we really got to get extra faith on this one. You know what that is? That's unbelief. Brother Wigglesworth had the most healings of anyone, you know, alive probably in his day. And he rose so many people from the dead. And he said, how are you able to get so many people raised from the dead? He said, I treat death just like a common cold. I don't use any more faith for death than I would a common cold. See, when you get your faith up, you say, oh, this is a real rough one. It's a real rough one. We really got to believe up on this one. You done just exalted the devil. Amen. You know what the truth is, people? The same thing you got to do to make your situation better. You know what? God's got to do the same thing for him. He's got to use his faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God's not moved by that wheelchair. As far as God's concerned, we're all in a rut that we need to get out by faith.
Amen.
There are people in wheelchairs all over the nation, all over the world. Everywhere you go, there are people dying of cancer. How many people have been in, have terminal cancer and went to church this morning? There are poor people all over the place. You said the poor you'll always have with you. You say they'll always be there. Amen? Now I'm talking about not being merciful, not being caring. See, many people go to that stuff and say, God, look at my little miserable situation. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
And see, this is good faith teaching because a lot of people don't know that. Look at how bad things are really messed up for me. Surely you see this. Surely, you know, I don't even believe, you know, sure you see this. But Jesus did not see the sick. You know what he saw? Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Right here. And they brought a man sick of palsy lying on a bed, and Jesus seeing their what?
Faith.
Jesus saw their faith. And then he spoke to the situation. How many want Jesus to speak to your situation?
Amen.
Let him see your faith, and he'll speak to your sickness.
Amen.
Let him see your faith, and he'll speak to your finances.
Amen.
Let him see your faith, and he'll speak to your rocked family or whatever's messed up.
Amen.
Say, faith,
faith
moves God.
Moves God.
I tell you what, I believe this, and in my net, you can base your life any way you want to. You do what it. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But I'm going to tell you what. In my life, I've had many messed up situations that I've gotten on my face and prayed and cried and whined and complained. And for about 20 years, those things stayed exactly the same way.
I just wish things would get better. Help me, Lord.
And then people, you know, instead of somebody telling me the truth, just hold out a little while longer. Oh, glory. Just suffer. We get to go to heaven pretty soon. Just take your beating from the devil. Amen. Sooner or later, we be out of here. Amen.
Mm.
I'm tired of hearing that stuff.
Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, while we're on the earth, we shall have tribulation. Why are we here? We're going to have tribulation. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the one sick of palsy, son, do what? See, we all want to minister to people. You know, we see somebody sick of the thing, we bring up to the front, and all they want to do is cry, and we all cry with them. Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're going through.
Amen. Jesus don't minister like that.
Mm-mm.
He said, you be of good cheer. Amen.
Amen.
He wants to, because he's not concerned. He doesn't have to pacify sickness.
Amen.
People want to feel sorry for sickness and get into all those other things because they know deep within their heart and their face that they always going to have it. So we got to be nice. No, I'm serious. Chances are they're going to have that thing forever. So they're going to have to deal with it. Don't poke fun at that sofa when you know, that's all they got. But if I knew I had a sofa out there, if I went to somebody's house and I had me a trailer full of furniture that I was bringing in that person's house, I'd say, look at that spot on that floor. That looked real bad because I knew I had another carpet in the truck.
Amen.
When you know what you got, I know what we've got. Amen.
Hallelujah.
When you know what you got and you know what God can do, amen, you can minister to people with that same eyesight, amen, with that same vision and that same
amen.
Faith.
Amen.
And that'll get the job done. Somebody
Amen.
Say glory to God.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, praise God. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus sees your faith. He sees your faith. That's what moves God.
Hallelujah.
How many want to see God move? Give him some faith. This one made so many people mad. They wanted them name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, confess it, and possess it, people. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. At least I'm not one of them wish I had it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Seeing their face out of the wands, listen, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. I like these kind of friends. I got this little note here. It said, they said nothing, they did something. Thank God for certain people that can move by faith and say nothing and just get up and do something. See, if some of us would just get to the point where we just shut up and get people to Jesus, amen? Things get on. I'm going to get you up out of this bed. That's all I know. I'm going to rip off the roof or do whatever I have to do to get you inside the place. Amen?
Amen.
What you doing? Explain yourself. Why are y'all acting like this? They said nothing but did something. Amen?
Amen?
Go to 3. And behold, certain scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether is it easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Woo, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody say, which one's easier? Jesus was basically saying to him, nothing's different. It's the same thing. If your sins are forgiven, you can get up and walk.
Amen.
Amen. He said that sickness was the ooh, praise God.
Amen.
See, it's not what that guy did. It's what the devil did. It's what Adam and Eve did that brought this thing on from the get-go. Amen. I'm telling you what, whatever you're bound to right now, you might think it's a part of your sin or something that happened to you. Whatever it is, it's forgiven. Get up. Somebody say, glory to God. Get up. Glory to God. Get up out of it. You're already forgiven. You can arise out of it by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. He said, arise. He said, rise. Glory. Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. Then said he unto the sick man, to the one that was sick of palsy, arise and take up thy bed. Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed into his house, and the multitude saw it, and they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Someone say, faith.
Faith.
Now that's some good faith, isn't it? Isn't that some good faith?
Amen.
Anybody see a prayer there? Anybody see a prayer there? This man got healed. Jesus never even prayed. There wasn't no healing service. They didn't have to get the healing number. They didn't have to get the healing number. They had to play the organ. I don't even know if they brought oil in. We got all these rules and regulations. Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
People think as soon as he'd do it right, I guess it'd be all right. He wasn't anointed tonight. Amen. You get up. You're going to get better just because Jesus sets you free.
Amen.
It's not based on how good somebody else is. How strong their prayer life is. Somebody say, praise God. Your sins are forgiven you. And if Jesus can forgive your sins, ain't no lame preacher.
Amen.
Amen. No unanointed person on a bad day, amen, passes off, should stop you from getting what you want from God. Amen. You get up. Somebody say, praise God. Whatever you got going on, amen, you are completely forgiven. Jesus sets you free. No weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper. Amen. You can arise and walk.
Amen.
Somebody say, faith, timing.
Faith, timing.
Say one more. They say, faith
and timing.
We're learning about faith. Jesus sees faith, right?
Amen.
And also, all God's got to do is speak the word. All God's got to do is speak the word. He and his word are the same thing. Amen. Now here's one more thing. It's talking about using your faith and timing. Right here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand on her, and she shall live. Now that's some faith, isn't it?
Amen.
Now that's some great faith. He said, another centurion. Lord.
Amen.
Wow. Some people couldn't get it, but here these other people that didn't even know Jesus, never been probably to the temple a day in their life. They didn't even know that he was there for them. went to a Jewish rabbi and said, listen, I hear you're healing people. I believe you can. You just come on over to my house and she'll get up.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Half our relatives die, you know, and, you know, we start planning the funeral. If I die, don't plan no funerals. Believe God and get my black behind up.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Get me up. Don't embalm me. You pray. You believe God and get me up. And if I get up and say, let me go back, then let me go back.
Amen.
No, I'm serious.
Amen.
I'm serious. People think that's real crazy. We know a man, I thought he was here in Houston. It's not a Houston man. It was Chicago. Elder Mitchell, Church of God in Christ pastor. Elder Mitchell was dealing with so many things. He was a living Job. He had all the same situation that Job had in our time, in our time frame. Elder Mitchell was so sick, and he finally died in the hospital. His wife got to the hospital. He had been dead for about a half an hour, and they had him laying in the hall, dead, with a sheet over him, and they said, he's gone. He's gone. And his wife went over there to that sheet, and she started to cry, thinking, well, my husband's gone. What am I going to do with all these kids and all this other stuff in this church? And she started thinking about, he ain't going to leave me with these crazy church people by myself. I'm the pastor's wife. What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? They're going to get me out of here, everything else. And she thought about it. I'm not going to raise these wild children by myself, deal with these crazy church people by myself. She ripped that sheet off that bed. He had been out there for a half hour. Ripped that sheet off the bed and said, you get up right now in Jesus' name. You're not going to leave me here by myself. Mitchell got up.
Amen.
He arose. Now, y'all having difficulty believing that. I know a woman today. Well, she's gone now. Amen. But you know what? I got to that church at Bethel. My goddaddy, you know, you think I'm rough. He's a real rough one. Amen. He had a church nurse. He really could preach. He preached so bad he had to have his own nurse. You could fall. You ain't going to get help. Amen. But he preached. He just wiped his head. Amen. The nurse. But the nurse had a bad attitude. You know, she just had a bad, I mean, she was good, but she'd get you right. You think we can get you right around here? I mean, she'd really get you right, amen? She just, you know, she'd come to church with any old kind of spirit. And Cogent people weren't like us. They honored God. I mean, they would get you straight real quick, you know? They didn't wait till you got home. They told you straight up. If you were out there clicking or whatever it was, they told you straight up, I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. You better repent. Come out! I mean, that's what I heard as a kid, them old ladies, you know, them old crazy ladies right there. You be trying to eat your food. Come out! And, you know, that's how they lived.
Amen.
Well, she was sitting up there in church, and they were prophesying, and the pastor turned around her, and some of us would have been mad, and said, Tally, God's telling me right now your attitude's real bad. If you don't straighten up, you're going to die. I'd come down here right now and repent. Now. And half of us would have said, I don't even agree with that. I'm getting out of here. And she thought the same thing. Tally had never been sick a day in her life. And she wasn't no old woman. Some of us can prophesy that stuff. Somebody look real old and walking slow. Oh, yeah, she's about gone. Let me get my little word in there. Amen. That week, Tally went to work, got to work, had a heart attack, and dropped dead. They picked her up. Took her to the hospital, tried to get her to the hospital and do all this other stuff. She was at Walter Reed Hospital. This is documented. She was dead at Walter Reed. They called the church people. Tally's dead. We got to work out this stuff. Come on over, Pastor. And Pastor said, well, I guess she's gone. You know, he was going over to their seat. So they called the church mother. Somebody say, old praying saints.
Old praying saints.
And old praying saints will say, she's gone. God didn't say she had. God said she died, but that didn't mean she couldn't get up. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, them people believe God, and some of them are still doing it today. Amen. Amen. You know that by the time she was in the hospital, them church mothers and missionaries got together. Rita Womack and all of them mothers got together. Old saints, y'all be mad at them, but they got together, got in their little car. Some of them caught the bus because they weren't as blessed as we are. Amen. Got down to Walter Reed Hospital. They tried to put him out. The old Pentecostal woman got up there, laid on the floor, prayed in the Holy Ghost, believed God. Tally got up.
Amen.
And she served God for about 15 more years with the right spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I knew Sister Tally myself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith in timing. That's talking about dying. Amen. He said, now listen, this man had that same kind of faith. It's not just Bible days, it's today too. Jesus is saying yesterday and forevermore. So here's man's daughter dying. He said, listen, if you come, she'll get up. And we all say, well, that's real good. Isn't that good? And Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, woo, Jesus had some faith too, didn't he?
Amen.
Well, I guess we'll just go. Amen. And behold, this is what I like. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came in behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within her what?
Self.
Glory to God. Then this man talked to Jesus and said, listen, if you come to my house, my daughter will get up. But this woman, look, she said it where? She didn't get up in front of the church. Amen. She didn't wait for the prayer. Nobody else knew about it. She said it to herself. She had her own faith going on. So you can have your own faith going on in the middle of the meeting. Amen. You can say to yourself, amen. She set up her own healing service. She said, this is how it's going to work out. She said, if I just touch his robe, amen. He don't have to speak to me. He don't have to do nothing else. Glory to God. See, some of you limit your faith. You think, well, as soon as the anointing comes down and it hits me in the back of my head, I'll be all right. Let me tell you what. That don't have to happen.
Amen.
Your angel's sitting up there trying to make the roof crack instead of get your need met. Because as your faith is, so be it unto you. God said, I love to heal him, but we got to wait for a good storm. Amen. I want to heal him, but we got to do all this other stuff first. So you got to get to the point, whatever way he wants to do it, let him do it.
Amen.
She said, listen, if I may touch the hem of his garment. For she, you know, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be what?
Healed.
And Jesus did what? Turned about and saw her. Because what did he see first? Her faith. Now, which case you think is more important? This woman had this disease a long time. She had it for 7 years. A couple more days ain't gonna hurt her. You know, she had it all that long time. She could have waited for him to get back. That girl was dead. He better hurry up before she starts stinking. Somebody say amen. Now, some of you think, well, my case is more important because it's bigger. Don't have nothing to do with it. Amen. We get all mad because our light's about to get turned off and somebody else gets a new, I got blessed with $50. Do whatever I want to. And you think, well, what about me? Don't you know my house notes due? And you think you're next in line because your need's the biggest and the greatest. You go to the emergency room, you sit up there all day long because the best need, the greatest need gets in first. I mean, you got a small thing, you're going to be there all night long. God's emergency room don't work like that. You can go in there with a broken back and somebody can go in there with a splinter in his finger. Amen. Faith gets first. Which case is greater? So here he is on the way to this dying girl's house. Amen. Everybody found, they were in program. This woman broke the flow. Her faith broke the flow and moved that anointing to her need. And Jesus turned around and said, listen. Jesus turned about and saw her. And he said, daughter, be of good comfort. There he goes again. Somebody say, glory to God. Cheerfulness and comfort. Glory to God. I tell you what, when people know you, we should even get to the point when we see people all upset and crying about stuff and they start whining all sad about stuff. Don't even pray for them. You know they ain't going to be healed.
Amen.
If they knew they were about to get healed, they'd be glad.
Amen.
I'm so excited about this. Wow. Glory to God. How many of you won the lotto going to go pick up your check crying? You know you won. You know your thing messed up. You ain't going to be still crying and upset. So say comfort and cheer. Woo, I'm so excited. I'm about to be healed. I'm about to be delivered. Why do we play sad songs when people are about to get healed? Because we all know what's going to happen. They're going to go right back the way they came. Isn't that a sad shame? At least we all get a good cry out of it. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, don't be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And guess what? What made her whole? What made the woman whole?
Her faith.
Hallelujah. Whose faith?
Her faith.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
You
got your faith. Because if you had her faith, it wouldn't work. It's
you know
your
what?
Faith.
You said something just now.
Uh-huh.
And I was mad, but you know what?
I didn't ask you to pray for me. Open my
Somebody say, thank you,
so
Jesus.
Deep.
Revelation. Somebody say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go on and do it. Do it both. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, that's why people usually don't get what they want from God most of the time. It's because we set them up for the big wishing well. Now, in a couple minutes, we're just going to wish that you get well instead of teaching faith.
Amen.
And really what you're saying is that we're going to lay our hands and pray and hope something happens. Amen. We got to get to the point. I tell you what, you got to get to the point. I'm going to believe in faith. Amen. And trust God.
Amen.
Let it be.
Amen.
I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
But if it don't, hallelujah. But there's no if. We got to have our faith that it will.
Amen.
If you don't have the faith that thing will be done, keep your hands to yourself.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just go there and tell the truth. I really don't believe you'd be here, but I'm just here, amen. Patting you on the back, amen. Somebody say, glory to God. Amen, I believe it. Somebody say, glory to God. Amen. We need to get strong in faith and get up in people's face. I believe God's going to work that situation out for you. And we lay hands on you, you shall be healed. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thy faith had made thee whole. Amen. And the woman was made whole that same hour. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, I mean, I don't care what's going on in the world. My faith will stop God in his tracks.
That's right.
Cause him to turn around. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And fix it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Because there's a lot of messed up stuff in the world. Amen. Compared to all the hunger in Africa. And I'm worried about my shoes. These shoes don't look right. Amen. So I say amen. Thank God for faith. That's why Jesus went around everywhere teaching the people how to receive. Teaching them the word of God that they might be able to receive by faith. Amen. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
We're almost there. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making noise. And he said unto them, please give us some place. She's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. That shows how phony they were. They didn't even mean it.
Amen.
If they were really mooning, they ain't going to get a laugh out. You know, they are all in the flesh. And people are crying over you in church. They don't feel it. They don't mean it. Amen. It's just an act.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And a lot of people, you ain't going to cry because I got a bill. Isn't that a trip? I mean, man, they wouldn't pick you up on the side of the road but cry over all your knees when you get there. Amen. It's the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, and he said unto them, give place, the maid is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed in scorn. And when the people were put forth, that means put out. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. See, many of our situations ain't getting good because we ain't put people out.
Amen.
See, a lot of times God don't come in until some people come out.
That's right.
Amen. Come on in, God. Come on in, God. We'll put that one out. He'll come in. Amen. Come on in and move. He said, why? I can't do nothing anyhow. Come on into this church and have your way, Lord. I can't have my way in there. You get that one out, I'll come in.
Amen.
You get unbelief out, God will come in. God don't come to play games. He knows way in advance.
Amen.
He knows way in advance where somebody is.
Amen.
So say, once they were out, glory to God. He came in. That's faith to me.
Amen.
Sounds like Gideon's army, doesn't it? Amen. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Once they were out, he came in and he went in and took the maid by the hand, and the maid did what?
She rose.
Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God.
Amen.
Most of the time, when people were healed in Scripture, most of the time, Jesus just did it. He acted like they were already healed.
Amen.
He didn't go in there, oh God, heal it. They're already healed, already forgiven, already set free. Somebody say amen. He just helped him up and tried. He told that man to pull up his head and said, rise. He's sitting there waiting for the water to trouble. Smith Wigglesworth, everybody should read that man's lifestyle. I got a chance to spend some time with his grandson. Amen. Boy, did we hear some stories. Wow. Stuff they couldn't print. Hallelujah. But Smith Wigglesworth, most of the time, when he was doing people, to raise people from the dead, he didn't have a prayer service. You know, most of the time when those people were healed, they were begging him to leave.
Amen.
Please leave my mama alone. You know, he would get there, and people, like we banged you upside the head, you thought that was real crazy, you know? But Smith Wigglesworth thought this. Now, everybody's got to move in their own faith, then I'll shut up. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Smith Wigglesworth really believed, and you can't come against his faith until you can do the works.
Amen.
Results talk.
Amen.
Amen. You can believe whatever you want to, but if your belief ain't going to do nothing for me, I ain't going to follow where you're going. I don't care if he believes in whatever, as long as Jesus is glorified and it's doctrinally sound, amen, and he gets results, let him do whatever he's got to do. I don't believe in mud, but Jesus moved in mud, didn't he?
Amen.
Picked a spit on the ground. We wouldn't want Jesus to pray for us. Lord, help my eye, you know. And he spit on the ground and picked up the spit and made dirt, took the dirt and mixed the spit and dirt together and stuck it in somebody's eye. Half of us would have left the church. Nasty. Amen. It's the truth. Hallelujah. One woman came to Jesus, you know. One woman came to Jesus and said, Lord, blah, 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 blah. And he called her a dog. It's not good to give the dogs the scraps off the table. That did it. Get my Bible. Somebody say glory to God. Her faith was ministered to. Now, Smith Wigglesworth would get to the point, he really believed, you know, that it was just the devil. And it wasn't like, if he saw a big boil on somebody, you know, and he saw this girdle on somebody, his faith, now don't you do this.
Yeah.
You got to tell some of these crazy people. Amen. How many of you hear me? Amen. Do not do this.
Okay.
If you do it, you are on your own. I would call the police myself. But if he saw a big gore on somebody's face or something there, you know, he said, it's just the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He thought that. And he took that literally. He said, I'm going to knock it right off of him. Every time he would walk up to that person and knock it off their face. Just knock it right off their face. He also did one thing. They had a little baby, a deformed baby. Smith Wigglesworth was a trip. You would not like Smith Wigglesworth's meetings. All of you sitting there talking about, I want to go to one of Brother Wigglesworth's meetings. Nobody liked Brother Wigglesworth's meetings. When you went to Brother Wigglesworth's meeting, he was fussing at people. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be mentioning people and people be calling out, you don't have to do that. You shut up and mind your business and I'll mind mine. That's what his meetings were like. As he was ministering to people. He wasn't moving like Benny Hinn.
Oh, praise God.
You beast! That's what the crowds were saying. They weren't saying, oh, glory, hallelujah. You shut up, mind your business, and I'll mind my business. And that's what it was. He had lots of things about Brother Wigglesworth. Brother Wigglesworth was very gruff. He didn't play no games. He did not play any games at all. They brought a deformed baby. This is history. They brought a deformed baby to Brother Wigglesworth, and he was in this auditorium. Are y'all getting faith by this?
Amen.
And they stuck this baby, they brought this deformed baby to Brother Wigglesworth, and Brother Wigglesworth said, and all of us would have tried to do the show, give me the baby. I'm not afraid to hold the deformed baby or the baby cute. Help him, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Brother Wigglesworth had faith.
Amen.
He didn't receive that deformity. He didn't receive the deformity. He said, put the baby on the platform. Dad, would you put your baby? Brother Wigglesworth, you know, he came back. This is true. Brother Wigglesworth walked up, took a couple steps, went wham, and kicked that baby, and the baby went. This is true.
Yes, it is.
He kicked the baby, and the baby went flying through the air. Y'all think I'm lying? Baby came down, plopped on the stage. People yelling at him. I don't know where it went. Amen. Neither of you. You weren't there. Amen. But listen, that baby came down and hit everybody yelling. Yelling at him. Baby healed. Totally healed. They brought one man to Brother Wigglesworth, had a growth in his stomach, died of cancer. He was on a stretcher, had all the people on a stretcher, and they brought him up there. Brother Wigglesworth walked up to the man and bust the man in the stomach. The man dropped dead. Oh, and Brother Wigglesworth walked down the aisle. If the man died, he just died. Period. He didn't even stop to say, I'm sorry. No, I'm serious. This is the truth. You got a seat. There's documents. You know, this is documented. They went and got the police. England, they went and got the police, and he's still in the prayer line. And they holding back the people that want to whoop him. He's still praying for the people. And they said, you killed him. This is murder. We got you now. This is murder. This is murder. And Brother Wigglesworth said, he's healed, and kept walking. And kept going, he's healed. And they said, no, you've killed him. He's healed. That man got up.
Amen.
Healed. There are a couple of people that are flowing that today. Unless there's some wrong, would minister to people in the same fashion. Brother Hagin on a good day will knock a couple good people. Amen. Boom. Bust you real good, but get the people healed.
Amen.
Now we were talking about death. And then I'm done. Brother Wigglesworth would go in there and his case is recorded death. He didn't pray for those people. He said, where's the deceased? Now this is another funny story. Then I'll give you the death story. There was this man that went to Brother Wigglesworth. No, I thought this was funny. I want to see Brother Wigglesworth when I go to heaven. Amen. I want to see Brother Wigglesworth when I go to heaven. Just don't want him to pray for him. Amen. Just don't want him to pray for me. You only touch the hem of his garment, Brother Wigglesworth. As my faith is. Amen. So we say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Brother Wigglesworth, there was a preacher that was following Brother Wigglesworth around. Oh, he was supernatural. There was one case. You remember Elijah outran the chariots? Elijah outran the chariots? Brother Wigglesworth had several manifestations. You don't hear about all the manifestations in Brother Wigglesworth's life. He was a mighty prophet of God. Brother Wigglesworth got to one point to where he would sit on a train, and if the anointing was on Brother Wigglesworth, the whole train would weep and cry and start to repent. The whole train, whether he was in the same car, they would all start to weep and repent. Charles Finney, here in our own nation, had that same anointing. They said Charles Finney would be 30 miles out from a city, and all of a sudden people would start falling out under the power of the Holy Ghost. And this was a Methodist preacher. Would start falling out under the power of the Holy Ghost before the man even got to town. Brother Wigglesworth had the same thing. Said one person, Brother Wigglesworth believed that you had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost told Brother Wigglesworth, these people need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know how big those walls are in England? Sometimes you go to England and you'll catch a wall probably higher than that post. And that's where the house is. And he was following the people trying to tell him that you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And people were ignoring Brother Wigglesworth. Right? And all of a sudden, Brother Wigglesworth was walking and preaching to them. And all of a sudden, they went into behind the wall to get into their house, their yard, and shut the door on Brother Wigglesworth. With one leap, Brother Wigglesworth jumped up and leaped over the wall and got the people filled with the Holy Ghost. That old man. That old man. In one, I couldn't leap that wall. Could you? Could you leap that thing? In one leap, leaped over the wall and got that person saved. Brother Wigglesworth got up there. You know, Brother Wigglesworth raised his wife back from the dead 3 times. The third time he raised her from the dead, she said, leave me alone, Smith. I'm finished. I've done what God wants me to do. Brother Wigglesworth ministered to people. He would get up there, and they said most of the time when he prayed for people, he would go there to where the body was, and he would grab the body up out of the bed and slam the body, throw the body up on the wall and say, live. Never pray. Spoke to the body. See, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. You know, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Amen. You speak to the problem. Amen. You're going to speak to your bills and say, be paid. Speak to that husband and say, be delivered. Speak the word of God. Amen. You don't have to ask God. He's already willing. He's already done it. Amen. It's already taken care of. You come together.
Amen.
So he would get up there and he'd throw that body up against the wall and say, live. And about seven times it would happen, he'd do it. And I would say, well, I guess this healing ain't going to take place today. They said it would get so bad sometime that the family would be in the room. Stop it. Please leave my wife or my husband or my mama alone. Don't throw her up against the wall no more. Please stop it. How'd you like to have somebody die in your family and they just whipping them up against the wall? Live, live. You know, they think this man's crazy. They lied. This man can't get anybody healed. But his faith would not give up. He don't care where it took him all night long. He would keep doing it. And you know what would happen? They'd come back. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They'd come back. Faith is a powerful thing. And many times we can get revelations. We can get certain revelations and we can develop our faith in that area. You know, we have a great cloud of witnesses. This stuff not over.
Amen.
This it's nowhere in scripture said that we wouldn't see greats that they would ever see. Somebody lied. Paul moved like that. Those 12 disciples moved like that. But we've had men in our own day that have flowed like that and are flowing like that. Where we've seen great signs and wonders. Brother Branham, Brother Wigglesworth, Brother Lester Sumrall. Different people that have moved in that same grace and that same anointing. We had a general right here in Houston. Lakewood's what it is today, not because Joe preaches good, even though he preaches good, but that was a mighty prophet of the Most High God. That man was of God, mighty man of God, but he was humble. He would go over to India. Brother Osteen would go over to India. Here he flowed in one anointing, but when he went to India, he moved in signs and wonders. He moved in signs and wonders in India, mighty signs and wonders, but God called him the pastor. He did what God wanted him to do. His calling was to build Lakewood Church so Lakewood Church can put $4 million a year on the mission field. That's why it's so big. It takes that much people to get that money on the mission field. See, that's what it's all about. Where is your faith today? Get your history books. First of all, you shouldn't have to go to a history book. Just open your Bible. And if you think these things are done with today, amen, they're not. They're not. Brother Hagin prophesied. Brother Marty told us that Brother Marty travels with Brother Hagin, and I believe he's about the last general that we have out here of that generation. Their time frame, they had Brother Hagin, Brother Branham, and so many of these generals. There were some mighty men that moved in the 30s, 40s, and up to the 50s, and then there was a slowing down. Till Osborne, Brother Oral Roberts, mighty men of God. Wow! The last one, only two of them are alive today. Actually, a couple of them, the only ones that were actually able to live because that anointing was so strong was Brother Oral Roberts, Brother Hagin, and Brother Lester Sumrall. But Brother Hagin told Brother Marty in private, he said, faith is at an all-time low in the body of Christ. He said, faith is at an all-time low in the body of Christ. He said, but God wants to do it again. Brother Hagin's life, and I know this is strange to some of you, but people don't realize this, but they went out there and they taught faith for 30 and 50 years. He's taught faith. Brother Hagin still has a faith ministry. But brother, they prophesied and the word went forth that there's a new revelation coming, that there's a new wave to where God's going to start to act on that faith that they've taught.
Oh, praise God.
And this is the age of signs and wonders where we're going to start to see, you know, he's developed. First of all, when things aren't happening, what Jesus usually does, there was a town where Jesus went into and he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Usually when unbelief is at a low, what God does, he takes and he teaches. Maybe in our time frame from the 60s, from the late 60s, unbelief was so great that the anointing went from signs and wonders and mighty works to teaching. And he's been teaching since from the 70s, brother. That's why most of the strong anointings that came after the word of faith anointing, this is like sounds like Bible class, doesn't it? That's what happened, that the anointing switched from the signs and wonders and faith kind of, you know, and then the anointing switched over to great teachers. And that's what we saw. You know, we saw teachers like Brother Copeland moved in teaching revelation. You know what I'm saying? Joyce Meyer's been moving and teaching. Gloria's been moving. Jerry Savelle. All the ones that survived. All the other ones that knocked off. All we've had for the last 10 to 20 years is good teachers. Brother T.D. Jakes, but we ain't seen much. We had just minimal healers out there. Brother T.L. Osborne, but God really wasn't moving in that area. And Brother Benny Hinn. Not like the 40s. But I believe those of us that have received that teaching, got that teaching, got that faith on the inside of us, we're going to now step into this new age of signs and wonders and usher in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's what God wants to do. And that's why it's important to know all these things. Jesus the same yesterday,
yes,
today, and forever. And I know that you all that are sitting in this room right now, you're going to be right in the middle of it. You're going to be right in the middle of it. Amen. You're going to be right in the middle of it. God's not going to let you out of it. Amen. He's going to keep you together. Amen. We are a small little church, or we right now just in this number. But God's going to do some things. Look, we're not all by ourselves. We got great and mighty women, men and women of God that love us. Amen. And when the time is right, they'll be here to help us. Amen. And say hallelujah. But we need to get our faith ready so when they get here, we'll be able to make the most of that opportunity. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. I've enjoyed tonight. How about you? Amen.
Yeah.
Lord, it sounds like one of those old nations meeting. It's 8:30. Yeah. Please forgive me. Lord, have mercy. Everybody say faith.
Pleases
God.
God.
Hallelujah.